Nick and Nobby in the Daring Escape by Felix Meyerhofer. Chapter 1, Showbiz. Nick, a registered letter just arrived for you, called Mrs. Kincaid. It's from CBC-TV in New York. What could it be, she wondered, as she handed the letter to her son. Could it have something to do with Nick and Nobby's recent performance on local TV? Nick excitedly ripped open the letter. Reading it quickly, he yelled, Mom, they want us to perform in a TV special, featuring different animal acts. Our local TV station sent them a video of our performance. The producers at CBC think the Nick and Nobby bass drum act will be perfect for their show. Their act was different because Nobby played the bass drum with his drumstick-like tail, with incredible rhythms both soft and loud. I can't believe it, exclaimed Nick. The whole country will see us. They're going to rehearse and tape the show before a live audience in New York City. Oh, Nick, what a wonderful opportunity for you and Nobby, said his mom. He and Nobby practiced hard for hours. All Nick could think about was the TV show. When the day he had been waiting for finally arrived, they were both up at the crack of dawn and raring to go. Nick helped his father load the two bass drums and the electronic equipment into the van. The family then belted themselves in for the long drive to the big city. Upon their arrival, they checked into a hotel and left for the studio. As they walked onto the TV set, a thin, nervous little man paced the floor. In a high-pitched voice, he shouted, I want all the acts on the stage immediately! The animals and their trainers stampeded onto the set. It was a zoo! Nobby went wild as he ran in, out, and around all the animals. Don't run, Nobby, Nick pleaded as he held Nobby by the collar, trying to keep him under control. Mr. Rene, the artistic director, flitted around the stage faster than a flea in hot sand. Attention, everyone, he ordered, clapping his hands. Nobby banged his tail on the floor. Quiet, he demanded, stomping his foot. Clapping his hands once more, Mr. Rene screamed, Where's the camera crew? As the camera crew scampered onto the stage, Nobby's tail accidentally hooked tails with a screeching monkey. Mr. Rene clapped his hands and pointed a long, bony finger of warning at Nobby. Nobby, what am I going to do with you? Nick said as he untangled the tails. Poor Nobby just couldn't control himself. It felt like the old act being around animals again. He cocked his head curiously at the trained seal. He let out a happy yip when the seal smacked his flippers together. Nobby was all eyes as the seal twirled a ball on his nose. When the seal blew a rubber ball horn, Nobby answered by hitting his tail against the bass drum with a big boom. The seal honked his horn again. Nobby responded with another boom. Mr. Rene was a wreck and threatened Nick. This is the last time I'm going to warn you about that dog. Nick was relieved when it was their turn to rehearse. The camera crew laughed as they watched the dog with a funny-looking tail play the bass drum. Chapter 2, Catman. When the rehearsal ended that evening, Nick said, Nobby, I've had it with you. I'm glad we're going back to the hotel. Nick was totally exhausted as he crawled into bed. At that very moment, Nobby dashed for his leash. Carrying it across the room, he dropped it on Nick's bed. Oh, no, groaned Nick. He knew exactly what Nobby wanted. I'd better take him out, he said to his dad. I'll go with you, answered his father. You don't have to, replied Nick. We'll just go in front of the hotel. We'll be okay. Nick went down the elevator with an excited Nobby on the leash. As they left the hotel, the loud meow of a cat caught Nobby's attention, and he dashed towards the sound. Wait, yelled Nick, as Nobby dragged him into a dimly lit alley at the side of the hotel. There was no cat in sight, but Nobby settled for a big yellow fire hydrant. As they were about to return to their room, a large, tall man stepped out of the dark. Keep a tight hold on that dog, kid, and don't move. I'm the cat you're looking for. Nobby growled deep in his throat. Nick, seeing a large bulge in the man's pocket, thought he had a gun. Holding Nobby back, Nick said, Stay, Nobby, and Nobby obeyed. The man threw a laundry bag at Nick and ordered, Put your dog in the bag, and unwilling Nick did as he was told. Sorry, old dog, he said, as he put a squirming Nobby into the bag. Pick up the bag and let's go, the man said. Carrying the heavy dog with Nobby inside, Nick was pushed from behind. Give me the bag and get in the elevator, snarled the kidnapper. It was a service elevator used only during the day for deliveries. They rode up to the fifth floor, one floor above where Nick and his parents were staying. Looking down the hall both ways, the kidnapper shoved Nick out the elevator and into a nearby room. The man had Nick attach Nobby's leash to the bedpost. Handing him a damp cloth with a strong odor, he said, Here, take this. It will put your dog to sleep. I won't drug Nobby, Nick yelled. You will if you want your dog to live, warned the man. Nick gently put the drugged cloth to Nobby's nose, and Nobby fell limply to the floor. As the kidnapper tied Nick to a chair, he said in a threatening voice, Don't you dare make a sound. Chapter 3, Chewing for Life. Downstairs, Nick's parents were concerned when he didn't come out of the alley. His father and the hotel security guard ran to the side of the hotel but found no trace of him. They immediately called the police, who raced to the scene within minutes and came to a screeching halt in front of the hotel. I was watching my son and his dog from the balcony, a frantic Mr. Kincaid told the policeman. They entered the alley and never came out. As Mr. Kincaid answered the policeman's questions, the kidnapper calmly walked by them. He was leaving the hotel to use an outside telephone. When Nick's folks returned to their room, the phone was ringing. It was the kidnapper. Get $100,000 in small bills by tomorrow if you ever want to see your kid and his dog again, he threatened. The phone suddenly went dead. Mr. and Mrs. Kincaid looked at each other in stunned silence. Back in the kidnapper's room, Nick was frightened. Who would want to kidnap us? He asked himself over and over. When the man returned to the room, he said to Nick, I demanded a large ransom from your parents, and I'm sure they'll pay it. Nick softly replied, We're not rich. The man laughed and said, I'm not stupid. You and your dog are going to be on TV. I saw your picture in a newspaper, and that kidnap idea hit me. You've got to be worth a lot of money. I checked in at the hotel because they'd never think of looking for me here. Knowing your dog would have to come out sooner or later, I watched the hotel entrance from the alley. Nick shook his head in disbelief. He could see from the look in the man's eyes that he was crazy. He just rambled on and on. When the kidnapper finally left the room, Nick looked around for a way to escape. But with his hands and feet tied and without Nobby, it seemed impossible. He could hear the man snoring in the next room, so he knew they weren't alone. I feel terrible, Nick said to himself as the first rays of morning light appeared. My eyes are swollen, and I don't think I can stand the pain in my wrists much longer. That's it! My wrists! Nobby, get up! Nobby was still groggy from the drug, but he slowly stood up. Nick turned the back of his chair toward Nobby. He put his tied wrists into Nobby's mouth, and Nobby understood what he had to do. He started chewing the rope. Good dog, said Nick. Chapter 4, Tail with a Punch. Meanwhile, the news had spread like wildfire about the kidnapping. There was chaos at the hotel. The police, newspaper reporters, and TV cameras were everywhere. There was widespread interest in Nobby and Nick because of the publicity about their unusual act. In their room, Nick's parents anxiously waited for further instructions from the kidnapper. We have a lead on the alleged identity of the kidnapper, said Sergeant Clue, the detective in charge. He was just released on parole and has been seen in this area. We've sent his picture to all the precincts. At the studio, Mr. Rene was a nervous wreck. He couldn't stall for time much longer. The audience and the animals were getting restless. He told his crew to get ready. We'll begin taping in half an hour with or without Nick and Nobby, he said. The camera crew felt sad. They had grown to love that dog with the long tail who made them laugh. It just wouldn't be as good without them. Back at the hideout, Nobby was slowly chewing through the rope. Nick could feel the rope getting looser. They heard movement from the kidnapper's room. The snoring stopped. A shuffling sound approached their door. Nick quickly turned his chair around. He said quietly, Lay down, Nobby, and Nobby obeyed. The kidnapper walked in and looked around. Thinking they were still asleep, he left. Nick heard the outside door close. He and Nobby were alone at last. Okay, Nobby, let's get these ropes off, Nick said, as he again put his wrist against Nobby's mouth. Nobby began chewing at breakneck speed, as he was now wide awake and ready to go for his morning walk. The kidnapper called Nick's parents and gave them the instructions for the money drop. He warned them, "No funny business or you'll never see your kid again." In the kidnapper's back room, Nobby had finally chewed through the rope. Nick untied his ankles and then Nobby's leash. Nobby ran around the room happy with his newfound freedom. The outside door opened and Nick said, "Quiet, Nobby." The kidnapper was back. Nobby let out a low growl. Nick wanted to escape, but there was no way out. As the footsteps came closer, Nobby jumped onto the big bureau next to the door. The door opened. The man walked in and Nobby whacked him on the bridge of the nose. His stiff tail, strong from playing the bass drum, stunned and blinded the kidnapper. The man let out a scream, grabbed his nose in pain, and collapsed to the floor. Nick jumped out of his chair and yelled, "Let's get out of here, Nobby!" Leaping over the man, they ran for their lives. They scampered into the adjoining room and burst through the door into the hall. Crashing into two policemen who were patrolling the hotel, Nick yelled, "We're Nick and Nobby, and the kidnapper is inside!" At that moment, the kidnapper staggered into the hallway. The police recognized him immediately from his pictures. "You're under arrest," they said, as they handcuffed him and read him his rights. Nick and Nobby ran down the stairs and burst into his parents' room. "Nick!" they screamed, hugging him tightly and crying with joy. Nobby bounced up and down like a jumping jack, giving everyone loving licks. Nick quickly told them in Detective Clue the whole story. Nobby gave Nick a little nudge with his nose, and Nick knew what that meant. "Okay, you little rascal," Nick said. "You deserve to go out." Chapter 5. Nobby Flips. After he and his folks walked Nobby, Detective Clue drove him to the TV studio with lights flashing and sirens blaring. When the police car stopped in front of CBC Studio, Nick and Nobby ran into the applause of the audience and the camera crew. Mr. Rene happily clapped his hands. "We're saved," he said, as he saw Nick and Nobby running down the aisle. The show was already in progress, so the both of them quietly watched the other animals perform their acts. The boy and his dog were exhausted from their frightening experience. When it was their turn to perform, Mr. Rene came on stage. He explained to the audience what had happened and that Nick and Nobby were still going to perform. Mr. Rene announced, "I know you've all heard the old saying, the show must go on. In that great tradition of the theater, let me present the fantastic duo of Nick and Nobby." They opened their act playing on one bass drum with incredible rhythms to the audience's delight. Nick suddenly switched to his electronic bass drum, playing different sounds, while Nobby continued performing wild rhythms on the regular bass drum. Ending with a booming and thunderous finish, Nick knew they had never played better. The kidnapping ordeal was over. He and Nobby could now bask in the glow of a job well done. Off stage, Nobby laid down in exhaustion from both the kidnapping and TV show. From out of nowhere, the seal's large ball came spinning next to Nobby. Suddenly coming alive, Nobby got up and jumped on the spinning ball like he had seen during his carnival days. To his amazement, the ball flipped him high in the air as he came crashing down hard on his tail. Nobby just lay there, sped-eagled with a strange look on his face. Something was wrong. "Nobby, are you all right?" asked the worried Nick. Nobby slowly stood up. His beautiful long tail was in the form of a boomerang, with the end bent in a curved shape. Nobby had broken his tail. He howled like a wolf in the night. Everyone came running to see what had happened. Nick scooped him up in his arms and said in a choked voice to his parents, "We've got to find a veterinarian right away." Loading Nobby into the stage manager's van, they sped off to the vets. "I hope Nobby is going to be all right," Nick said to his parents as he anxiously paced outside the doctor's office. The door opened and out came Nobby, his tail dragging on the floor in a heavy cast. He was one pitiful sight. Nick ran and gave him a big hug. "Careful," said the doctor, smiling. We don't want to break that tail again. Unfortunately, Nobby will have to wear the cast for 4 weeks, but he'll play again. Hear that, Nobby? You're going to be as good as new. Gently picking up his dog, Nick looked at his parents and said, "Let's go home."